G'day, it's Steve Eales here from Steve Eales and the Open Road, and you're about to listen to Bandit About podcast series.
You're listening to the Bandit About podcast series. My name is Dice Belaine, the host and creator. Today's guest is a self-taught multi-instrumentalist who began his musical journey when he was 12 after purchasing his first guitar, learning to craft his own songs. Throughout his musical journey, he's experienced a lot of success, from his first band, Sovereign, who was signed to a record label in the first year after their debut album, Too Hot to Handle, was expanded to include two more tracks, both written by my guest. Sovereign released a second album, The Wild One, and with all of the awards and top 10 radio hits and TV success the band had earned, they were well on their way to becoming a household name. Sovereign, with their harder-edged, rock-driven country music finding its way into the homes and hearts of country music and rock music listeners across Australia when the band split in 2007. He then went and launched his solo career with his debut single, Girls on Horses, which was produced by the legendary Ross Wilson of Daddy Cool and Mondo Rock fame. The Battler album was to follow, and this enabled him to make his mark on the country music genre by collecting 17 national awards, including Best Album of the Year and Song of the Year. His second album gained recognition with radio chart positions in Australia, the US and Canada, and scored a bunch more awards, including the prestigious APRA Award for Country Composition. He continued to work and release more albums and then headed overseas to the US in 2010, where he won awards for male vocalist, songwriting and overall performer at the World Championship of Performing Arts in Los Angeles in 2010. On his return to Australia, he and his touring band decided to officially form as a band, calling themselves The Open Road, which they ended up changing the name of due to the fact that there were actually some other bands overseas with the same name. They then became Steve Eales and The Open Road. The release of his third album truly established him as a genuine Australian songwriting asset, and his new musical direction with a crossover from country to roots and rock music and, of course, the blues. Joining me for the Bandit About podcast series today is a very talented multi-instrumentalist singer-songwriter who you may already know of, especially if you're a country music fan. It is my great pleasure to introduce Steve Eales. Welcome, Steve, and thank you for making time to chat with me today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, Di. Thanks for asking me.
Despite living in the area where the Port Noarlunga Blues Festival is held, this will actually be your first time performing there.
Yes.
So not only are you going to perform during the festival, but you will also be running a songwriting workshop on Saturday the 25th at the Newry Wine Bar.
Yeah, I certainly am, and I'm really looking forward to that. There's certain things that really shine in your career, and one of those is seeing other people come up with new concepts. So the workshop is the first for me. I haven't actually run a songwriting workshop before, even though I think I've written well over 400 songs and had plenty of success with them. It's the first time that I'll be sharing with a crowd how I do it and some of the shortcuts and what is nice to listen to. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. A bit nervous, but, you know, looking forward to it too.
I'm sure there's plenty of people here that will be quite interested in hearing what you've got to say, especially as you've just mentioned, you've had quite a bit of success with your songs over the years. So this is really an amazing opportunity for local songwriters here to come along and hear someone who truly knows his stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully I do. When it comes to songwriting, I don't believe in genres. I think genres is kind of like more of a record company warehousing term. I believe that music is music, and my style of music is more roots than it is anything else. You know, like I play a lot of country, I play a lot of blues, I even play folk, and I even play rock. But when it comes down to it, we're all using the same chords, we're all going for the same kind of melodies and all looking for a way to connect emotionally with other people through our music. You know, you don't have to be a country music fan or even a blues fan, but you'll pick up a lot from, you know, what I've learned over the years.
Excellent. Which stage of the songwriting process will you be looking at more during the workshop?
Well, I'm working on the assumption that people already know how to play an instrument and put together a sentence. It's more about where the ideas come from that are interesting and not pedestrian, something that everyone else is doing. And what do you do with the song once you've written it? How do you go from there, from, you know, actually putting pen to paper to getting it into a studio and getting it onto radio? So all those things I'll try to cram into that, what is it? 1 hour?
Yeah, you've only got 1 hour to do all that.
A few decades worth of learning to cram into an hour. Should be able to do that. No problems. Really fine.
Pretty jam-packed then. Perhaps if you come back and do it again another year, they might actually allow you a little bit more time.
Well, yeah, it might come down to that. I would love to do it ongoing. Mm. But then it might be something that I can take away from the festival to continue on privately. Or
so giving people a taste of the sort of content that you're going to be able to pass on to them.
I'm thinking out loud. I haven't really put any thought into that part of it yet. Possible. I don't want to leave people high and dry.
Well, no, because they're going to go, and then?
Yeah, exactly. And then.
Yeah, and there's already enough questions about the whole process as it is.
Yeah. Look, one of the things, like early on, I found that there were very few people that wanted to help. There was very, very little information available, and most artists out there who are original artists are very competitive. So they hold their cards close to their chest. They don't want to share info that may give you the leg up over them. Mm. I don't believe in that.
No, you're right. It's just the way of the biz, I think.
Mm. I think information's there to be shared. That's what makes all grow.
Definitely. And there's nothing quite like working with another musician and learning from them.
Yeah, exactly. And you do. You can't help it. You know, and we all absorb. I worked with Garth Porter. I don't know if you know Garth Porter mm-hmm. from Sherbet. We recorded some albums. We wrote a whole bunch of songs. And his advice to me was be a sponge. Everywhere you go, be a sponge. You know, absorb information, and it might be just some little thing that's happened to you. And then find a way to create a song out of it.
Yeah, well, that's great advice. Mm. Okay, well, as you know, good songwriters use their craft to give the songs emotional impact and create that memorable experience for listeners. So which skills have been integral to enable you to provide a memorable experience for your listeners?
Well, I think it's finding that level of representation of where they think they're at. And I think of songs that have been popular on the radio that have done really well, and how I connect with that song is on how that song represents my mood or my emotion at that time.
Mm. So how had your songwriting evolved from your early career into the type of songs that you write today?
Well, my early stuff, I was too busy trying to write something that was really good and not really writing from the heart. I don't want to give too much away.
No. It makes sense.
That's the first 40 minutes of the lecture.
Sorry, guys, if you were expecting a surprise, you're not getting one now. Steve, do you ever look back at the songs from your earlier years and interpret the meaning differently today?
Wow. Actually, no one's ever asked me that, and I haven't thought about that, but possibly, yeah. Certainly. Well, a lot of my early songs are about living on the farm, which, I used to live on the farm and I had horses and I used to ride in the high country. So there are definitely a lot of those kind of images in the songs, and I don't write like that now. I'm back to living near the beach again, like I was when I was a kid. Mm. So my whole approach to songwriting is completely different.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, it all sounds really fascinating, and I'm certainly looking forward to having a listen to what you're going to say during the workshop. So let's talk about your performances during the festival. Steve, what can those who attend your solo performances expect to hear?
They can expect to hear some fresh, brand-new songs, actually, because as soon as I started thinking about what to do at the Blues Festival, I mean, I've written maybe 100 blues songs over the years. I wanted something that's like fresh and current and really now. And working with other blues artists in the area, I started coming up with all these concepts, and it's like, you know what, I can't wait to get out there and perform these. They can expect brand new blues music.
Oh, that's fabulous. Hmm. So you're treating the audience to something new. Well, that's great. What are you looking forward to doing at the festival yourself?
I'm really looking forward to rubbing shoulders with some of the other blues players. I mean, I see the names out there, and I've seen a few people in concert, but I don't know everyone, and I'd like to. You know, I'd like to get to know some of these names that I've been associating with the industry. That's one thing, but it's all about performance for me. It's all about getting in front of a crowd and giving a little bit of what I've got to give. That's everything. Being on stage is everything to me.
And especially with you trying out new material as well, because it's also a good gauge on how that's come along. The audience reacts to it.
Exactly. I often road test songs to see if there's any kind of reaction, negative or positive. So the audience becomes my guinea pigs.
Finnan here, ambassador for the Port Nalunga Blues Festival, 24th to the 26th of November. Get yourself down there, hear some great music and have a really good time. Go to the website for all the details. I'll see you there.
Is there something that your fans don't know about you that they can't find out just by reading a story or a blog or something online or an interview that you'd be happy to share?
Let me think. Yeah, that's a very interesting question, because I like to know things about my favourite artists. I'm not into gossipy things.
No.
And I don't really like to get into personal things about people. I know that people do. You know, I've come across that quite a bit. What do I like to share? I am a very spiritual person. There you go. That's a thing. I write a lot of songs that are about human consciousness and our growth and our oneness. I'm not religious, but I do believe that we are essentially an eternal spirit. People can know that about me. I'm happy with that. When I tour around Queensland, I do a lot of rural and regional areas. I do a lot of festivals. Usually there's a big crowd behind the stage somewhere with a heap of the camp oven meals on the go. So you might be having like a wallaby stew that's been stewing away for 6 or 8 hours, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
There you go. Something you didn't know.
I wondered where that was going then.
Well, we're talking about food.
Food.
Yeah. So something else about me is I surf. I like to dive. I ride horses. I think I've tried just about every kind of sport and outdoor adventure activity there is you can do on this planet. I think I have.
Well, that's good.
Hmm.
Nothing wrong with a curious nature.
An adventurous spirit. No, nothing wrong with that at all.
Excellent.
I used to be a builder. I used to build houses.
Okay. Well, there you go. What more could we possibly need to know now?
That's it.
So what do you have coming up yourself after the festival?
Well, I've got ongoing gigs. I'm getting myself back to touring with a lot of festival work. I got out of it for a little while. I hit a bit of a wall with my health. In fact, the last song that I wrote up until just recently was a song called Please Remember Me. And it was a song all about getting out of the music industry because I was just tired and hurting from, you know, the life on the road. I didn't think I was ever going to do it again. I thought, this is it. I'm going to get out and just retire or semi-retire, find something to do. And I had a bit of a big health scare, which I have fortunately come out of. I did pass away during that experience.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm getting back to full health again, and the songs are flowing like you would not believe. From thinking that I was going to end my career and, you know, just shelve it all, to now I can't wait to get out to the next gig, next festival. I've got probably close to 3 albums worth of songs ready to put together and put onto something.
Yeah.
Some kind of format. I don't know if we're doing albums anymore. That seems to have all changed.
Yeah.
I would have probably 50 songs ready to put onto albums, something close to that.
Oh, that's excellent.
And some of them are already recorded, mixed and mastered, ready to go.
Okay. So when is the next album due out then?
Oh, about 3 years ago. It's a bit of a quandary. Like, it costs a lot of money to put together an album and get it out there. I mean, back in the day when I was signed to record labels, you know, I've been signed to a few and you didn't even think about those things. It was just all taken care of. But as an independent artist, and I doubt whether I'll ever sign with a record company again, as an independent artist, you're footing the bill for everything. So what are we actually paying for and how are we going to get a return? Because people don't necessarily have CD players or record players anymore. Spotify is not really a big money spinner.
No, that's more for discovery and you don't need to be discovered.
Well, exactly. And so where do you go from there? You've got all these songs. It's like, how do I get them out to people where they can own them?
What I think on that subject is to put a couple of songs out there on Spotify and the various platforms where people can stream the music, and then to try and entice them to then come to your website or wherever it is that you sell your album.
Exactly, yeah.
Because if you put the whole thing on there, who's going to buy it? You've already given it away for free.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So you, here's a song, and if you want the rest of the album.
You want the rest, you come on in and buy one. Yes.
But first you've got to go and buy a CD player.
Don't you have one in your car at least? I mean, come on. I've got a record player. I've got CD. I listen to a lot of music in my car, obviously. So there are still people out there that actually like to own a physical copy.
There are. There definitely are. I still sell CDs, but it's just, it's not exactly how it was. So there is always that, where do I spend my money question.
Mm.
Music is like everything else, it's a service. You know, how am I best going to serve people with this product?
But then again, it's always good to have the physical product with you when you're performing so that people can purchase it from you.
Absolutely.
And then they've got the bonus of meeting you and perhaps you even signing a copy.
Yeah.
And that makes the whole experience very personal for them.
Mm. I remember the days when we would get 300 to 400 people lining up to get CD signed after a show or at a festival, and people were happy to stand in line with their texter or whatever, and they've already bought the album.
Yeah.
And there was a phase where people that were lining up, some of them, they didn't have an album, they had a ticket or something else. It's like, no, we'll just get it off the internet. Thanks.
That's when you've got to have that affordable merch close by.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
To cater for all budgets, because if they've laid out for the concert, they might have had a meal beforehand, bought a few drinks while they're there. Money's tight. They can't always afford to buy the album, but they still want to take away a keepsake. So things like stubby holders and stuff like that are pretty good for that sort of thing.
Yeah, they want to take a little bit of love home with them, and I understand that. I'm the same.
Hi, I'm Sue.
And I'm Dan.
And together
we are
Sue Dan. We look forward to performing
and seeing you at this year's
Port Nalunga Blues Festival,
running over 3 days
from Friday the 24th of November
until Sunday the 26th.
See you there.
With blues, when I'm writing blues songs, it's a very common theme to be writing about something that's gone wrong, something that's gone missing in our life, or some emotional thing that's quite negative.
Well, it's the same with country, isn't it?
Well, in some instances it is, yeah. I mean, there are love songs, but they're not always, you know, ending on a high note. Well, I like to write things that are fun, like my song Drifting On, which you've probably heard. You know, it's got to be fun. It's got to be up and even a little bit happy. So I've just written this song called Bright Blues. I've opened it with a very common line from blues songs. I woke up this morning and it's a great day. So excited for what's coming my way. The whole song is about being up rather than down, but it's blues music. Interesting combination.
Yeah. Not going to be depressing everybody. That's nice.
That's it. Yeah, it's very happy.
Well, it's nice to have happy tunes, and it is a reflection on how you are and what stage of your life you're at as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Steve. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your new music, and hopefully I'm going to make it to that songwriting workshop as well.
Well, that would be awesome, especially if I can help you in any way. Well, it's been my absolute pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me on, and I look forward to seeing everyone at the festival. Just come and say good day, because I'm a very friendly guy.
Okay, well, thanks again, Steve. If you'd like to attend the songwriting workshop that is being held on Saturday the 25th of November from 11 a.m. until 12 noon at the Newry Wine Bar, tickets to the workshop are $25 and can be purchased online through TryBooking, or just head to the Port Nalunga Blues Festival's website. You can see Steve performing at the Port Nalunga Hotel at 7 p.m. on Saturday night, and on the same evening at 9 p.m. he'll be performing at the brand new sister venue to Kickback Brewing, Drifters Pizza Bar, which has recently opened. Steve's final performance will be at 4 p.m. on Sunday the 26th at Port Burger. During this year's festival, Port Burger will be hosting 2 artists on Friday, 3 on the Saturday, and 6 on the Sunday, including Steve. These non-ticketed free entry performances are for you to enjoy while experiencing the warm hospitality offerings of Port Burger. Well, that brings me to the end of this week's episode of the Banded About podcast series. Please make sure that you tune back in next week to hear me chat with another special guest who will be performing at the Port Nalunga Blues Festival. Until then, it's goodbye from me, Di Spillane, Banded About, proudly supporting live music. Bye.